You're listening to a message from The Gathering. Check us out on Facebook or our website at peopleintheircity.com. Now, prepare your heart for God to speak something powerful into your life.
It's going down. It's new series time. Come on, you guys ready for this? Turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, we're diving into a new summer series called But Nobody Ever Talked to Me About. Have you ever had those moments in life where maybe somebody gives you a task or an assignment, you're supposed to do something and you're working on it, you're trying to make it work, but it's just not happening, you just can't figure it out, and so you go ask, well, what am I supposed to be doing? And then they say something like, well, did you try it this way? Or did you do it like this? And then that's when you're like, but you never told me to do that. Anybody had those moments? Yeah, come on. Like, most of us were probably young in the 80s and 90s, right? We were younger in the 80s and 90s. How many of you guys remember just how dry and brick-like burgers were at all the backyard barbecues you went to back in the 80s? You guys remember that? Do you know why that was happening? Because for the longest time, we were taught that if you're going to grill a burger, you were to flip that thing as many times as possible. And then remember this? And then you were to take that spatula. You remember that? Just squeeze all the juice out of that thing, as if the juice and the fat is gonna make that burger evil and taste bad. I got my first grill when I was in college, my own grill, and it was ghetto. But it had the grate, it had a lid, and it made fire, so I was in business. But that's how I grilled my burgers. That's how I was raised. I didn't know any better. And then one day, something amazing happened. They invented this thing called the Food Network. And I'm serious, in college, I remember seeing this guy for the first time. His name was Bobby Flay, and he had this show, and he was grilling burgers. And I'm not kidding, he practically scolded America on this show for all the ways we've been flipping those burgers over and over and for squeezing all the juice out of it. He said this, he goes, America, you only flip the burger one time, and you never squeeze that juice out of there, never. And I remember I said to Bobby Flay through the TV that day, I said, I'm sorry, Bobby. Nobody ever talked to me about this before. I had no idea. Have you ever had those moments where you think you know what you're doing, but it turns out you're missing vital information? Okay, that's what this series is all about, and we are going to have some fun too. We're going to talk about some topics that it seems like nobody is talking about anymore, or at least, listen to me, we're going to talk about certain topics in different ways than people are talking about them. I believe you will hear things and you will say, nobody ever talked to me about that before. So for example, we're going to talk about relationships in this series, but everybody's talking about relationships. From how connected you are online to how many people follow you or maybe even what dating apps you're using. But we're not going to talk about relationships that way. We're going to talk about relationships in a way, and you may say, I've never heard of that before. We're going to talk about sex in this series. And everybody just got real nervous. Don't worry. We're going to be okay. But everybody and their dog and their cat, and their parrot, and their pet ferret, they're all talking to you about sex, aren't they? Everybody is. But we're not going to talk about it the way culture's talking about it. I believe we've got some vital information to share that culture's not sharing with us, okay? We're going to discuss such topics as integrity, authority, accountability, sex, money, addiction, and several more than that, okay? And here's what's going to make our conversations about these topics different than the way culture talks about these things. We're going to see what God has to say about all these things. Did you know that God has an opinion about all of those things? Did you know that God cares deeply for you and therefore he cares deeply about how you live? Do you know that God has all of the vital information you need so that life can go well for you? God knew the whole time we weren't supposed to be smashing those burgers. And he's known this the whole time too. He's known throughout your whole entire life how you should live, what decisions you should make so that you can experience life to the fullest, so that you can live a life of impact and significance and truly experience peace, blessings, and joy. However, if we're honest with ourselves this morning, I would say that many of us in here have a lot more life experience with things like disappointment and discouragement and anxiety, pain, and regret. We got more life experience with those things than we do with peace and blessings and joy. And so many of us then have not yet experienced what God wants to pour out through our lives. We've not yet lived the lives that He has in front of us where we get to produce a harvest for the kingdom of God, where other people get their lives harvested into the kingdom of God, where they get to experience Jesus' life, His peace, His joy, His blessings, because of all that stuff that Jesus has poured out into our lives. How many of you would like to leave discouragement and disappointment and anxiety in the dust? Come on. And would you like to start racking up more experience with true life and blessings and joy and peace? Man, I know I would. And listen, you can. All of you can. Every one of us, all of that can change today if you really want it to. Here's a question, though. Who's the loudest voice in your life right now? Who gets the most face-to-face time with you each and every day? Who has the most influence on your life right now? Hold on, I'm getting a text. Let me just answer this real quick. Yeah, I'm preaching hot fire. Fire emoji. Fist bump emoji. American flag. Okay, sorry, where were we? Was that weird? We're good, right? Where were we? Come on, everybody. Some of you thought that was for real. Listen to me. How much say does this thing have in your life? How much face-to-face time do you give this each and every day? Is this the loudest voice in your life? Listen, we don't even realize we're oblivious to how much say these things have in our lives, and we're even oblivious to the fact that these things have taken an authority role in our lives. We have a tough life question, we will do a Google search for the answer way quicker than we'll look it up in the Bible. We have a problem in life, we will ask our Facebook friends for their advice before we'll ask our pastors or a neighborhood gathering leader. Have you ever made the mistake of asking for advice on Facebook when you're going through a problem? You will instantly get 100 people giving you the worst advice you've ever heard in your life. I'm not even kidding. Come on, this is for real. I saw a girl one time, she was a waitress, and she posted, she's like, "You guys, I'm so bummed. I worked so hard to serve this couple, and then they skipped out on the tip. What should I do?" Well, apparently murder was the answer. I'm serious. It was like only 5 comments before everybody was in agreement that they should find out where this couple lives and either damage their property or give them a beating. Can I give you some vital information this morning? Most of your friends on Facebook are completely nuts. They're a little bit nuts in real life, but then you get them behind a screen and a keyboard on Facebook and they completely lose their minds, right? Some of you are like, "But we're all friends with each other. What's going on?" You guys are cool. It's not you. But we do this with other things on our phone as well. We look at the lifestyles of celebrities. We look at their fake highlight reels on Instagram and we become convinced, "Oh, I should live that way too." Or we get on Pinterest and we decide, I gotta just blow all the money today because we need more mason jars and shiplap in that bathroom right now. I told you I'm preaching fire. We give these things way too much authority on how we live and the decisions we make. So once again, you want life, you want blessings, you want peace, you want joy, you want a harvest. You have to decide who you're gonna listen to. You gonna listen to everybody else? You gonna listen to yourself? You gonna listen to God? You gonna do what God wants? And so listen to me, okay? Here's one of the biggest reasons why we're in this dilemma right now where we know way more about discouragement and disappointment than we do about blessings and joy, okay? Not only is the church as a whole, we've been talking about this, not reading their Bibles consistently. We're getting better at that though, aren't we? Please say yes. Come on, we got to get better at that. But listen, most of us today have never had quality, consistent authority investing into our lives. Follow me here. Many of us never had any kind of solid relationship with our dads. Or maybe we did have a solid relationship with our dad, but our dad didn't have a solid relationship with Jesus. And so, as the God-given authority figures that they were supposed to be, they didn't have consistent, quality, truthful, life-giving, biblical advice and encouragement and discipline to train and raise us in. Come on, many of you, you're simply dealing with and walking through the 2018 version of the problems that your parents walked through before you. God wants to break that cycle, and he wants to break it with you. God wants you to leave disappointment and discouragement in the dust, and God wants you to have life. God wants others to get to have life through you, through the life that he pours out in you, and you can have it if you really want it, but you have to make a decision. And here is the decision that you have to make. It is our first topic of today that nobody is talking about anymore. You guys ready? It's commitment. Commitment. You have to make the decision to commit your life to God and to living life his way. Ain't nobody talking about commitment anymore. You practically have to go into the military to discover what a commitment is. You got to be on that all-star team to hear a coach talk about what a commitment is. People that stick with something are few and far between these days. And so this is no secret, okay? Here's one of the big reasons why our culture is at where it's at with this, okay? Follow me here again. Because dads haven't known how to be dad for a really long time now. We are living in an increasingly fatherless society. The authority figures that many of us should have had, our dad, haven't been there to walk beside us, to show us, to teach us, to call us up, to correct us, to encourage us to hang on. Do not give up. You got to stick with this thing. Even when it gets hard, you don't settle for anything less than what God has for you. They haven't loved Jesus and modeled a relationship with Jesus and a commitment to Jesus for us to follow. They haven't prayed with us and for us and read the Bible to us and taught us to obey Jesus and go all in with Jesus no matter what, even if everyone around you is abandoning Jesus. Rather, so many dads have bailed on their kids, on their marriages, on their families, and on their churches, and on the authority and the responsibility they were meant to walk in. And so by default, they've now modeled for a whole new generation and for our culture what it is to be uncommitted. And so here's the result. We don't want to commit ourselves to anything outside of ourselves anymore. Because we've never had to. Nobody's ever shown us how or talked to us about it over the long haul. We're missing that vital information. We don't want to have to be accountable for anything. We don't want to have to answer to anyone else for the things that we choose to do. The only thing we want to be committed to is any and every attempt to appease our own feelings. There's a phrase that we've all said. We've all said this, but far too many people today live like it. Even in here, I've seen it. It's a phrase that has become like a cancer in our society. Here's this phrase: I just don't feel like it. I don't feel like it. We want to be free of any commitment to anyone or anything else. We want to be free in the moment to do what we want, when we want, based on how we feel. And so our culture, this society, our families, this whole town, we're paying the consequences for this, from broken marriages to broken homes, which produce uncommitted, powerless families, which then leads to powerless churches that ain't doing nothing. No harvest, no fruit, no joy, no blessings, no peace. And so here's what we do to make ourselves feel better about it. We look for authority figures who will agree with the way that we're living so that we can appease our own feelings and feel good about ourselves. We stare at everybody else online looking for how they're living to just validate, yep, this is how I live. Can I give you some encouragement this morning? This is not your dad. Your dad's not a cell phone. Nobody got that joke at all. It's, yes, one guy. It was for you. It was for you. All right, totally awkward. Never mind, that just bombed big time. You're not even laughing at the fact that it bombed. It was that terrible. Hey, can I tell you something, though? This has your dad all over it. This has your dad all over it, okay? Here's why we're starting with this topic of commitment, okay? Because uncommitment is rampant in every corner of the church today, and it's threatening not only your life right here and now, it's threatening your eternity to come, and it is threatening the harvest that Jesus has called us to. We're going to talk about that more in a minute. We're actually going to see this in the Bible, okay? Here's the other reason we're starting with commitment, because everything else that we're going to talk about in this series hinges on this. Or let me say it this way, okay? Your ability to have true life and peace and blessings and joy and harvest in any and every area of your life is dependent first and foremost on whether or not you will make the decision to commit your life to God and stick with it by living His way according to His word, no matter what. No matter how you feel. Here's what I mean. The world promises you that you can have peace and joy and blessings outside of or apart from a relationship with God as long as you just remain committed to yourself. You just worry about you. You just do what you want. Just care about number one. But listen to me. If that's true, then why do you keep experiencing so much brokenness and disappointment? Why is it that nothing will ever satisfy? The world promises you that you will find peace and blessings and joy if you just get to have sex with as many people as you can outside of or apart from a relationship or a commitment to God and a commitment to those other people outside of marriage. But if that's true, then why do you keep experiencing so much heartache, pain, and regret? The world promises joy apart from integrity. The world promises blessings apart from accountability. The world promises peace if you'll just hold on to every dollar that you have, on and on and on. But people keep trying these things, and they keep finding themselves more and more broken, and everything around us keeps breaking. Because God knew life doesn't work that way. And so you have to catch this. God's ways run counter to our culture. His ways don't line up with most of the ways of your Facebook friends. His ways, his thoughts are higher than ours. And so you got to get this. Listen, they will just not make sense to us at first when we try them. But they do promise life. And when we go for it, when we go his way, they always deliver on it. And God does have best practices for every area of life. He's not silent on which ways will bring life and which ways will bring death, but outside of a total commitment to Him and doing what He says and living life His way, you will never experience the true life that He has to offer. Let me show this to you in the Bible, okay? If you got your Bibles open to Mark 4, we're going to start in verse 3. We're gonna listen to this story that Jesus tells. It's a parable. It's really it's a spiritual illustration that he's going to give us. He's gonna talk about things just in the natural everyday things, but he's gonna use these things to teach us some spiritual truth. And church, in this story, Jesus is going to show us varying degrees, or you could say varying categories of commitment, or really lack thereof. A lack of commitment to God and to His word. And He's going to show us what happens when there's anything less than a total commitment to Him. Okay, and here's what you need to know. All of us fit into one of these categories that He's going to give us. Every one of these categories that He's going to show us is present in our church, okay? You guys ready? Mark 4. Some of you are scared now. You don't got to be scared. It's going to be all right. Mark 4, verse 3, Jesus says, listen, a farmer went out to plant some seed. Now, do you think he's talking about a literal farmer, or do you think he might be trying to paint a spiritual picture for us? Yeah, come on. And so here's category number one. He says, as he scattered it, the seed, across his field, some of the seed fell on a footpath. In other words, it fell on hard, compacted, dry soil. Have you ever seen dirt that's so hard it's like concrete? That's what this is right here, okay? So it's going to be real hard for that seed to stick, right? It's going to be real hard for that seed to get down into the soil. And so here's what happens. He says the birds came and ate it. That quick. It's gone. Category number two. Other seed fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. But the seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But the plant soon wilted under the hot sun, and since it didn't have deep roots, you got to notice that. Since it didn't have deep roots, it died. No life, no growth, no fruit. Here's category number three. Other seed fell among the thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Watch this. So they produced no grain, or again, you could say no fruit. Finally, here's category number four, verse 8. He says, still, okay, don't miss this, still, other seed fell on fertile soil, and they sprouted, grew, and produced a crop, or you could say a harvest, that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Then he said, anyone who has ears to hear should listen and understand. He's saying, anyone who's got their spiritual ears open today, anybody whose heart is not concrete this morning, should be able to listen to this and gain some spiritual understanding. Now, we're in luck because the disciples were intrigued. They heard this and their spiritual ears were open and they wanted to know more. They wanted to draw closer to God. So they went to Jesus and said, could you please explain it further? Give us a more in-depth explanation. And so Jesus does it and we get to benefit from it. So flip down, go down with me. Sorry, skip down to Mark 4. We're going to read verse 14. Mark 4, verse 14, Jesus begins to explain it. And he says, the farmer plants seed by taking God's word to others. Okay, here's the picture. The farmer is a disciple. This is a disciple who's living saved, changed, and on mission, the on-mission invitational life. He's giving other people the word of God, the gospel, God's way of life, okay? What God says, all of that, God's word is the seed in this story. Do you see that? You guys with me? Okay, so now here's the first category of uncommittedness to God. Jesus is going to explain. He says, the seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message. They hear it only to have Satan come at once and take it away. Okay, they heard it. They heard God's word. However, their hearts were too hard and Satan still has them exactly where he wants them in life. And so it's far too easy for him to be able to lie to them so that they won't accept or believe God's word. Here's the second category of uncommittedness to God. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message. Again, they hear it and watch and immediately receive it with joy. That's awesome. But since they don't have deep roots, again, notice that, they don't last long. Watch this. They fall away, he says, or in other words, they give up as soon as they have problems. As soon as they have problems, or are persecuted for believing God's word. We're gonna talk about problems. Here's the third category of uncommittedness to God. And friends, with grace, can we just be totally real this morning? This category right here is where the vast majority of the church in America is living right now. Right here. Verse 18. The seed that fell among the thorns represents others who hear God's word. Again, they hear it. But all too quickly, the message is crowded out. The commitment is crowded out by the worries of this life, the lure of wealth. And look at this, it's just simply the desire for other things. So, no fruit is produced. I want you to say, none. According to Jesus, none. Three categories of people so far that have heard the word of God, and we still don't have one piece of fruit. But finally, here's the last category, verse 20. And the seed that fell on good soil represents those who, come on, say it with me, hear and accept God's word. They commit themselves to God and what he says and watch what happens as a result. They produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted. Okay, once again, listen to me. We have every one of these categories present in our church each and every Sunday. We got people who hear the word, but they don't receive any of it. I'm telling you, each and every Sunday, there's usually somebody that does this. I'm preaching hot fire, and there's somebody that does this. And usually it's a dude. I know, we're getting real, though. And I've seen this many times. Oftentimes there's a wife next to him doing this, but she's dreaming that her husband would get that word of God inside of him, that he'd man up and become the man of God God wants him to be. And this is no secret either. We can laugh at this because you guys have all seen it, but you know, it's not that. It happens on a fairly regular basis where somebody gets up and walks out. Like somebody or a couple will get up in the middle and just walk out. Like, but that's called concrete. Don't want to hear, don't want to accept what God is saying. Okay, but listen, every one of these categories is present. We've got people who won't receive the word. We've got people in the middle ground in their commitments. And then we got people that are pouring their heart and their soul into seeing a harvest take place through their lives and through this church family. It's called Newton Reborn. Okay, but for a moment, I want to focus in on those two middle categories, okay? Church, here's something I see each and every Sunday, almost every weekend when I go out to that ticket booth to greet our guests after service. Here's what I see almost each and every Sunday. I see people that come up to me, and this is awesome. This really is. They are just so excited. They are so excited. And usually it's like, Pastor, this is the best thing ever. This is everything that I've been looking for. This is the church I've been looking for. That word was exactly for me. I felt the presence of God in this place. I can't wait for next Sunday. Do you have midweek services? Because I will show up. I'm bringing my friends with me next Sunday. Just you wait, because I can't wait. We'll see you then. And half the time, we never see them again. Or they might show up for a few weeks, but then they fade and we never see them again. Or, Pastor, I gave my life to Jesus today. Today was the day. Everything's gonna change from here on out. I feel so good. This is wonderful. I can't wait for next week. I will see you then. And half the time, we never see them again. Or they might show up and be excited for a few weeks, but then it fades and they disappear. Or it's sporadic at best. You say, well, what is wrong with our church? What's people aren't coming back? What's wrong with our church? What are we doing wrong that people aren't coming back? If they're getting excited, why aren't they coming back? Listen to me. On one hand, there's nothing wrong with our church. This is exactly what Jesus was talking about in this spiritual story that he gave us, okay? In fact, maybe some of you are right there right now. Like the excitement's there. You're in the moment, okay? Maybe some of you have been there before, okay? And listen, there's grace for that. Because do you remember the second category? The first one was that the seed fell on concrete. The second one, it's rocky, shallow soil. But Jesus said they receive the word with joy. So you gotta understand, it's genuine in the moment. There is sincerity in the moment when they are excited. So, man, it's awesome. It really is. But here's what he said. Because the soil is shallow and rocky, and therefore the roots don't grow deep. Let me say it this way. They've never known how to commit to anything in life before. They've never been able to stick with anything so far in life. You got to listen to me. The roots represent the ability and the decision to commit. The roots represent the decision to stick with it. However, without deep roots, without roots at all, without a firm decision that says, I want to change in the name of Jesus and I'm determined to stick with it, then when problems arise later on Sunday afternoon or the next morning, when they wake up the next morning and their bills are still due and the kids are still having trouble and they get on Facebook and all their Facebook friends give them the worst advice ever, and then Saturday rolls around and they stay up way too late, I'm sorry, but they just can't last and make it back to that thing they were so excited about the Sunday before. They fade. They disappear. They don't follow through. They go back to life as usual, as opposed to true life, joy, blessings, peace, and a harvest. About 6 weeks ago, I was at the ticket booth after service, and I had this older gentleman come up to me, and he just looked sad. And so I said, "Is everything okay?" He said, I'm just so disappointed in my daughter." He said, "She texted me after church last Sunday, and she said, 'Dad, we're going to this church called The Gathering. It's so awesome. You've got to go with us next Sunday. Meet us there.'" He said, "She texted me several times this week and said the same thing. 'We're going to this 9:15 service. You've got to go with us. Meet us there.'" He goes, "She texted me even last night, Saturday night. Said, 'Dad, I'll see you in the morning, 9:15. Let's meet at the theater.'" He said, "I pulled up in front of the theater and I parked my car, but that's when I got a text and she said, 'Never mind. We decided to sleep in.'" He said, "But I was already here, so I decided to come in.'" And he goes, "Man, I just want you to know, I loved it. I can see why she was excited." He goes, "I'm just disappointed she wasn't here to experience it with me." Listen to me, there are people that get excited. Lots of people get excited in the moment without a firm commitment, without deep roots. Jesus says, when the problems arise, people don't last. And so you have to see this. For those of you that are struggling with your ability to commit, or for those of you who are sporadic in your attendance, or every time you walk out of here, you struggle to follow Jesus all week long. For those of you that have been excited, but you're on the verge of fading away from here, here's what you need to be aware of if you're going to have any chance of sticking with it and one day being fruitful. You can write this down. Your problems in life will threaten your ability to stay committed. According to Jesus, your problems in life will threaten your ability to stay committed. Church, you have to begin to identify the threats, the problems, so that you can stand strong when you face them. And listen to me, sometimes it doesn't take much for us to quit our commitment. Most of the time, it simply comes down to how we feel in the moment. Your problem may be simply that you just feel like sleeping in rather than remaining committed to God and what He says. Your problem may be that you just feel like watching sports or playing frisbee golf on a Sunday morning rather than being committed to God and showing up with His people. Or your problem may be, well, that person's not doing it anymore. They didn't stick with it, so neither will I. Or your problem might be, well, that person said something negative, or maybe it was untrue, but they said something mean about the church, and I'm just going to allow myself to get taken out by that. Your problem might be that discouragement that's stealing your new joy, or that unforgiveness that keeps making you angry, or that addiction that keeps making you feel unworthy to be in the presence of God, or that sin that you just think is way too fun. Can I encourage you? You have to identify the problem today and make a commitment to start heading or dealing with the problem God's way so that you can establish some roots and start receiving some life, some joy, some peace, some blessings, and the harvest that God has for you. Jesus didn't say, "Oh, you're addicted? Yeah, I want you to feel miserable and stay away from me." No, He said, "Come to me." He said, "You do your part, I'll do my part, and we'll get you set free." Christians are notorious. We are notorious for running from the very thing we absolutely need when we face problems. When you have problems, you need to be here with us. You need to be here. You need to go through breakfast and get connected to a neighborhood gathering so you can have people, you can have leaders who will surround you, some people that actually have roots, some people that you might be able to have some conversations with and say, "This is the problem that I'm facing." And so you can lean on them while your roots are getting established. You need the church. You need a commitment to God and what He says, and therefore you need to be with His people who are committed to following Him and living life His way. So I'll say it again. It's not that there's anything wrong with our church. However, it could be that our church could still get better. Here's what I mean by that. I wonder if it might be harder for other people to fade and disappear if you were more committed than you are right now. One more time. I wonder if it might be harder for the other people that are struggling with a commitment, I wonder if it'd be harder for them to disappear if you, and I'm talking to you, if you were more committed than you are right now. We have people who walk into our church every Sunday. They've never truly committed to anything before in their life. They've never been shown how, and they desperately need more than anything to make a commitment to God and to following His word. And so they desperately need a whole bunch of people around them who are committed to Jesus and the harvest so that their lives can actually stand a chance of getting harvested into the kingdom of God. Come on, it's like Pastor Jared talked to us about last week. They need some elders. They need some people to be their moms and dads that they've never had, to love them and encourage them. They need steady, reliable people that aren't giving up or going anywhere, even when they themselves falter. They need people who don't gossip and complain to them, or allow gossip and complaints about the church and things they don't like in the church to go on even around them. They need a group of people that just say, I'm not even going to allow that kind of talk in their presence or even in my presence. Come on, they need people that can be authority figures, that can be gentle, that can be kind, that can show the way to true life. They need commitment models. Which brings me to that third category of uncommittedness that Jesus told us about. And friends, it does not take a Bible scholar to realize that the vast majority of the church in America is living right here in this category. Jesus said they receive God's word, but their commitment to actually living it out and producing a harvest, living the on-mission, invitational life, is getting choked out by worries, by the pursuit of money, more stuff, a better career, and simply, I mean, how profound is this? Just simply, other things. Just getting choked out by just other things. Here's what Jesus said, and you've got to be aware of this. He said in verse 19, no fruit is produced. No fruit. And we saw a few weeks ago, if you were with us, we are His disciples when our lives bear much, much fruit. The problem is most of the people in this category are convinced or have fully deceived themselves into believing that they're actually being fruitful. What we do is we look at the world and what the world calls success, and as we achieve, we go after that then, and as we achieve more of it, we try to spiritualize it and we try to rationalize it, and we like to call it fruit. I'm just not so sure that that's what Jesus calls it. Listen, we stack our bank accounts higher and higher and we call it fruitful, but we reject God's word to bring the tithe and be generous, which has a direct impact on the amount of seed that can actually get spread so people can get harvested. We live with or we sleep with that person that we're not married to, but we call it love and we think it's fruitful. And we reject God's word that says that stuff outside of a marriage covenant is going to kill you. And it's distorting your ability to actually produce a harvest because the world's looking at you and they're saying, why do I need to change? You're exactly like us. You look just like me. Can I say something with major grace to a whole bunch of us today? This is just rampant in every corner of the church, okay? We're more concerned with turning our kids into athletes than disciples. This has been happening since I was a little kid. We're more concerned with that. We're more concerned with their sports career. Their sports career is going to end at 18, right as they are heading off to either college or the real world, where their roots and their commitment to God is going to be challenged the most. We're more concerned with whether or not they can shoot a three-pointer than whether or not they know how to serve in the church and whether or not they're committed to harvest. We call things like that fruit. I'm just not convinced that Jesus does. So you must identify, you must understand the threats. Okay, you can write this down. Worries in life, the pursuit of money, and simply the desire for other things. Things that are not Jesus' priorities. Things that threaten, these things will threaten your ability to stay committed and produce a harvest. Church, you have to be fully aware of these things that will come against you and the things that you will easily give yourself to so that you can actually stand strong and produce a harvest. What if a commitment to God and His word, the things He says, the way He says you should live, what if that will really bring you the peace, the joy, the blessing, the harvest that you're looking for, and all of those other things? I'm telling you, the level that you commit yourself at, The level at which you actually receive and accept God's word has a direct impact on the harvest. It has a direct impact on Newton Reborn. Remember Mark 4, verse 20. He said, and the seed that fell on good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted. But that was the only group. None of the others produced anything. Come on, what are the problems that keep taking you out? What are the worries or what are the pursuits? What are the relationships that you keep giving yourself to that are keeping you from being fruitful the way Jesus sees it? If you don't know right now, I'm telling you, today's the day to start praying. Holy Spirit, show them to me. Open my eyes to these things. Come on, is something sparking in your heart today? Is God doing anything in us today? Come on, what changes need to take place? I'll tell you what we can all do together right now in the name of Jesus. We can commit together like we have never committed before. We can make a decision to stick with Jesus and the things he says. We can grow deep roots. We can keep showing up. We can give face time to God's word and we can receive the peace, the life, the joy, the blessings, the harvest that he has for us. Your life, the lives of your family, the lives of your friends, come on, they can begin to experience life, joy, blessings, peace, and harvest because Jesus is going to pour it out through you, but you gotta commit. You gotta commit to him. And I don't care how uncommitted you've been leading up to this moment right here. I don't care how many times you've said, yes, Lord, and then faded away. Today is a new day. Everything can change. Everything can change today. Other people may have written you off. You ever had anybody write you off? Well, you had anybody that they're not gonna make it. I don't believe they can do it. Now they're saying this right now, but they won't stick with it. They're going to give up anytime soon. And maybe we've given them reason to believe that about us in the past. But that doesn't mean it has to stay that way. With God's help, come on, you can prove them wrong moving forward, can't you? It doesn't matter who or how many times you have been written off. All that matters is, has Jesus written your name down in the book of life because you made a commitment? You said, I have decided to follow Jesus. I'm sticking with him. I'm not going anywhere. Even when things get tough, no matter what, even when my friends bail, I'm going after Jesus and what he says. And so then when things come against you, when problems get in the way, you go back to those roots. You go back to those roots and you say, but I made a decision back here. I know these problems are happening, but I made a decision. And so I'm going to move forward in agreement with the decision I made right here. When worries and when the pursuit of money and all this other stuff comes and tries to steal your attention and tries to crowd out your commitment, that's when you have to open your eyes and you go back and you say, but I'm going back to the roots. I made a decision right here. I said I was going to follow Jesus no matter what. I'm committed to what he says. And then you make a decision to move forward in agreement with that. The world is not your authority figure. God is your dad. God is your dad. And so if you're going to make a commitment, you're saying, I'm going to listen to him. I'm going to do what he says. I'm going to look at his word so I can get familiar with it and understand the way I should live. And when you mess up and when you falter, you're going to run back to him. And you get to run back to your brothers and your sisters. And you get grace and you get strength to change. And you keep on harvesting. But you got to commit. You got to commit, church. And listen, it's not just your commitment to Sunday morning and neighborhood gathering that's important, okay? Listen, we're going to keep talking about this throughout this series. How we show up, where we show up, how we live around the people we show up with each and every day, that matters. Will we live each and every day according to God's word? And so you have a decision you have to make today. Are you going to walk out those doors and go back to life as usual? You're going to make a stronger commitment today. Are you going to go deeper than you've gone before? Are you going to allow those roots to grow down deeper? Is today going to be a day that you can refer back to and say, but I made a decision that day? I planted some roots. And so this other stuff may come against me, but no, I'm going back and I'm going to move forward in agreement with that. What are you going to do? I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Let's pray together. Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth, for your love, for your kindness, Lord. And I thank you for the truth, Lord. I know I've gotten offended by your word. I've gotten offended by the strong things that you've said. I pray that offense wouldn't take root here today. I pray commitment would take root here today in the name of Jesus. I pray that if anybody's in here and our heart's been concrete, God, it doesn't mean it has to stay that way today. You know how to water the soil. You know how to till things up. I pray you would till our hearts up in the name of Jesus. Come on, maybe you just need to ask him that. God, I need you to work in me. Here's my heart. I'm holding it out to you. I need you to change me, change my ideas, change my mind. I want my life to line up with what you say. I don't want to rationalize fruit. I don't want to over-spiritualize things and call them fruit. I want the fruit that you want. I want to be in that fourth category. I want 30, 60, and 100 times as much as had been planted in my heart. I want to push many others on into your kingdom, God. I want to harvest a whole bunch. Come on, is that what you want? Tell him that today. And what if you say, Jesus, I'm committing. So I'm planting my roots deeper with you. God, grow them deeper. Change me. Have your way in me. I want to harvest. Lord, we do want to harvest. We want this town to be reborn. Lord, we want this to be a place where people that desperately need to make a commitment to you get to walk in the doors and find themselves surrounded by a group of people that are so passionate, so on fire, so just in it with you that it would be so hard for them to disappear. I pray, would you continue to make us a better church? Help us, Lord. Use us. Change us. Bind us together in unity. And we pray, have your way. Let Newton be reborn. Pray all this in the name of Jesus, and all my friends said. Amen.
Thanks for joining us today. Please know you're always welcome to worship with us on Sunday mornings. Also, if you would like to give to our ministry, you can go to our website at apeopleinthercity.com. We hope to see you soon, and God bless.